Krishna. I'm sorry, I was a little busy today. I'm just finding my way. Do you see anywhere my glasses? I don't see them. Maybe I forgot them. Does any one of you have reading glasses with you? Ja? Oh, für alte Leute, ne? Ja, gut. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We do this so often, but it's always good, isn't it? And you always know, now we somehow enter the sacred space. Satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathanta śādhritā vratā namasyanta śyamaṁ bhaktyā nitya yukta upāsate Satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathantascha dritavrata namasyantascha maṁ nitya nitya yukta upasate Satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathantascha dritavrata namasyantascha maṁ bhaktya nitya yukta upasate Satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathantascha dritavrata namasyantascha maṁ bhaktya nitya yukta upasate satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathantascha dritavrata namasyantascha maṁ bhaktya nitya yukta upasate Matajis, please. Satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathantascha dritavrata namasyantascha maṁ bhaktya nitya yukta upasate satatam kirtayanto maṁ yathantascha dritavrata Thank you very much. I have a, you know, I can see everything very sharp, which is a thing. Thank you. But I was just thinking, maybe Jurij, what is with you? Is it not the right one? But I can see what is in the distance, but not what is right in front of my eyes. Yes. Let me see. This is for. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'm so very sorry. Yes, this one is it. I'm very sorry. So I will sell you your glasses afterwards. Shalom say. Satatam. Always. Kirtayanta. Chanting. Mam. Me. Yatanta. Cha. Fully endeavoring also. Dhridavrataha. With determination. Namasyantascha. Offering obeisances. Mam. Unto me. Bhaktya. In devotion. Nitya yukta. Perpetually engaged. Upasate. Worship. A translation. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Purport. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. Pang. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod, not a human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined. Now, interesting, huh? What is determined activity? such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadashi, and on the appearance day of the Lord, etc. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, this devotional service is not only easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One does not need to undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, and in any position, either as a householder or sannyasi or brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform his devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus become actually Mahatma, the great soul. Please chant with me. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Sami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Vacharine Nivesesha Shunyavani Paskatyane Zadarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Satatam kirtayanto maṁ yatantascha dritavrata namasyantascha maṁ bhaktya nitya yukta upasite. So, always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Here we find the activities of the devotees very nicely described. They chant Krishna's glories, then they endeavor with great determination, that it means they are prepared to do everything which is necessary to reach their goal.
And they also bow down before Krishna. So in this way, the great souls perpetually worship Krishna with devotion. Now the question I would like to raise is, in which frame should this devotional activity take place? With frame I mean, in what circumstance? How do devotees organize themselves? What is their concept of community? Because here it says, it seems they are... that's in another verse. It says they are enlightening each other. You know, they support each other in their chanting of Krishna's glories. They do it together. They encourage each other to give up sense gratification and to endeavor for Krishna. There is some type of community, some type of togetherness there. The Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, is done with several people. In my goodbye lecture, I would like to address this to you. This actually is done, devotees have always lived in the history of mankind in small groups. They came together and sang for 1 month. I once lived in a village called Kanainatayshala. That is a village on the banks of the Ganga where Mahaprabhu came right after his taking of sannyas in Gaya, and he had a darshan of Lord Krishna there. So I lived in Kananatashala during my Kartik Vrata, and I had opportunities to observe the Vaishnavas. They would come in the evening together, and they would chant together. Some came to our temple. I remember I would sit there. It was the Naam Vrata. I chanted the whole day on my japa, and I looked at the beautiful deities. And then the Vaishnavas came from the village, a small people, a group, five people, and they chanted before the deities. At that time I went into my room to keep on with my japa and so on. Sometimes I would walk through the evening just to have a little stroll and move the legs for the circulation. I would see in these little houses where they lived, before the house they had a tulsi plant usually, and then they sat before the tulsi plant, around five people, and they were singing. Then I asked Sua Dharmacha, in your village I always see these small groups of Vaishnavas coming together. And then one learned Vaishnava said, yes, this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told us, had told his devotees. He said, five of you gather together at your doorstep and chant together. You know, Mahaprabhu didn't say five. He didn't say this number. I found later out, I looked in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam, and there is only said as many as can sit at the doorstep. So Indians have little bodies. They are not, they don't have elephant seats, you know. And five can easily fit in a frame of a door. Hare Krishna. So Mahaprabhu said, as many as can gather on a doorstep. He had a small group in mind, five people, four people, you know, maybe four Europeans with a big, and five Indians or six if you so want, when there's not much prasadam available, and small groups. This is how Chaitanya Vaishnavism carried itself on. In academic language, you would call this a soft institution. A soft institution means it is carried by a tradition. It is not so much carried by institutional rules which rule human behavior, but it is something which is there in a traditional concept. For instance, Vaishnavas would have in the villages these small groups there, as they sat before their doors with the tulsi, because in the night you can't also travel very far without light. You know, they don't have electricity in India, at the villages at least. Now it comes, but previously not. So you would locally be together and practice your spiritual life. And this is how the tradition would continue itself. Then at times, which was very important for this, were great sammelans. Sammelans are meetings where they all would come together for big festivals, like for instance in Kittorigram, where Janava Mata, the dear wife of Nityananda Mahaprabhu, invited all the Vaishnavas who were living to come and celebrate Gopunim. That was the first Gopunima after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance. And from everywhere they came with boats going over the Ganga. Just imagine the scene, Philip. You should have been there with your photo camera. You know, all these great Vaishnavas merging together like rivers coming into the ocean of Kittorigram. And there they would have these huge festivals. And I had heard, you know, the way they cooked is they just dug a hole in the earth. Just listen to this. Dug a hole and put banana leaves there, and then they poured khichdi in these holes. You still see this in Shantipur, and we do the feeding of, I think, something like 20,000 people, and we also have big pots like this, and we put the khichdi in big holes. I remember our Kavichandra Maharaj was serving the khichdi mostly from pots, though. I remember in your strong and young days. Or do you still do it with a bucket? Too much competition of devotees who want to do. So these two things were there. Small groups, and then they would all come to these big festivals where the leaders of the Vaishnavas were there, where they had discussions, and where they would, for instance, discuss different philosophical viewpoints. How should we worship Gauranga Mahaprabhu? Should we worship him as in the Gauranagari style? And this was said, no, absolutely not. He is Krishna, but in the mood of his devotees, so that Gauranagara style is not appropriate. We should not do this. So the Vaishnava philosophy was canonized or was put down in these discussions which took place during the festivals. And it was announced, this is Gaudiya Vaishnavism, this other philosophy is something else. And then also during these festivals, you know, I want to speak about soft institutions here. They would have songs. Narottam Das Thakur would introduce his songs like Prarthana.
you know, which is a collection of prayers in which you would learn how to glorify Krishna in an appropriate way for our sampradaya. No? Then the gurus would be there, they would learn all, they would hear this from the Mahajans, and they would pass it on to their disciples. And in this way, Krishna consciousness spread through the traditional paths. But my point here is not so much to give you a historical insight, only to some degree, because Rivoye is here and he is an anthropologist and is interested in this subject naturally. I would like to concentrate a little on these small groups which kept the devotees of Krishna alive, because they would discuss within these groups and sing within these groups and worship in these groups with great determination, like we have heard here, and bow down before the deity of Krishna, and then mutually encourage and enliven each other. My dear devotees, a little while ago, something started in America, which was considered a great movement. It was one priest had a genius idea. His name is Rick Warren. To somehow, you know, make the Bible accessible to the common people. And he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. It really sounds like a self-improvement book, which Akura reads, and Tridasha Roy. You know, The Purpose-Driven Life is something that he said, a life must have a purpose, and the highest purpose is the purpose to reach God. So let us study the teachings of Jesus. They are Christians, and then yes, let's learn it. So he wrote this book where he took a biblical verse and then just explained it in a very simple and easy to understand way. And then something happened. People liked the book. They said, for the first time, we can apply the teachings of the Bible. And we wish to now practice this. And then something else happened. He got many letters, and he started to write them. Why don't, and in your neighborhood, I can see from my card, my land map or city map, there are four other people who like my book, and they why don't you meet with them? And this became the revolution. My dear devotees, you cannot imagine what happened when these people began to meet meet on their doorstep around the Tulasi plant. You're looking at me, what's going on now? I'm trying to connect what you hear now to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can't imagine when they met in their living rooms, they started to interact. As I said, well, here Jesus says we should love our neighbor, but I really hate my neighbor because he always plays Stones music, and I want to hear Denovan or who is now a Madonna, you know, and I hate my neighbor, you know. But how can you love your neighbor when he always plays Stones music? This is my question. So they started to discover, well, this is not so bad. What you can do is you can buy these small earplugs, and then, you know, it works. And somehow when they started to discuss amongst themselves and chat,
their wisdom, their experience on the path. Something started which did not happen when a priest stood before everyone in a church and started and preached, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone went, yes, 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 and so on. But they couldn't ask the priest, wait a minute, priest, I hate my neighbor because he always plays the wrong music. What should I do, you know? This couldn't take place. There was no interchange, no exchange of practical applied wisdom. But here it was. Do you know what happened? This movement within 1.5 years, this priest started a movement with 30 million people. Hare Krishna! 30 million! In 1 year. This is more than Croatia. In Croatia, we have 7 million people or 4. Mala, mala, mala. So let me calculate. I'm not so good in this, but this is 7.5 times Croatia in 1.5 years, because people could talk about this and they could apply it, how to love your neighbor or whatever, and the other teaching. For every day, something biblical. I looked at the book, and I don't know. Something is with me with the Christian philosophy. I don't find it deep enough to be with. So I could only do it for 5 minutes. But I catched the idea of the thing, and then when I thought about it, I thought, this is exactly what Mahaprabhu wanted when he said, five of you meet at your doorstep. You know, sit there and discuss, sing together. You find another living being, sing, and you can ask them, how do you do this? You look so concentrated. I'm always with my mind. And then, yes, I'm doing it. It's very simple. I sing. And then I listen. Yeah, do you listen? And how do you listen? Yeah, I'm just switching off the rest of me and my thoughts, and I'm just listening. And then I'm, you know, and they exchange. My dear devotees, the learning which we all need takes place really in personal interchange. That's why the guru-disciple relationship is so absolutely important. We can't just read the book. We have to ask that, how do you do this, please? And what is with this difficulty? And what do you see in me which I can't see in myself? We have to put these questions. And then we get a personal guidance. Now, but we can't always go for everything to our guru. He's too busy, and there are also things we might not like to ask, and he's on a different level, and so on. And he's maybe not in the country or the same village. He has just gone to another village to preach there. But we can ask our peers. Peers means people on the same. Peers, we had the word actually yesterday. What was peers? Vrishnatsky. Or what? Not Vrishnatsky. Same age, yes, but yes, we had this yesterday also. But so it's not exactly the Vrishnatsky, but whatever it is. Colleague, yes, but that's at the working place, no? No, but in the former Yugoslavia, we used to say colleague to people who are close to us. I know, Drugari. Gleichgestellter, you know, that's a German word, but that doesn't say much to you. You get the idea. Colleague, drugatzi,
whatever it is. I'm sorry, I'm always saying see, and I have high respect for the intricacies.
You need this. As we had spoken in our last goodbye lecture, communication of a mature human being has to take place in at least four rooms, four spaces. There has to be a public space where you are, you know, it's called in where you are lonely in the crowd. You are for yourself, but you are in the crowd and you participate in the group energy. Like that's when we do sankirtan. No? We all sing and we become touched by each other's energy singing, but we still feel we are for ourselves. You know, when we do sankirtan at the temple, we don't go around and shake everyone's hand and look at everyone and say hi, but we are concentrating on the deity and we are with Krishna. We are somehow alone in the crowd. I always like this experience, especially in this super crowded temple, like in Vrindavan. You know, you feel just everywhere around you, human beings, they are on your shoulders and they are on your toes and they are on your stomach and everywhere, but you are somehow alone and with Krishna. You concentrate on Krishna. And we need to do this. This is good in spiritual life, because when many spiritual people come together, you know, I'm taking the good energy from Sankarshan, from Kavichandra Maharaj, just to have Kavichandra Maharaj there. And I'm seeing him so serious, praying in the kirtan and so on. And I take the encouragement, I take the energy. You know, this is what happens when many come together. It's like, really, something is happening. Sankirtan is Yuga Dharma. Yeah, this is good. So, this is one space, and it's not so good if you can't function there. If you become disoriented and you think, my God, these people get on my nerves and so on. It's not good. You have to overcome this if you feel like this. But then there is another space which you need. You come out of the public and you come to discussions where you talk. You know, let us speak about secular life. You go maybe to a big lecture where everyone is there and so on. But then you make contacts. This is like meeting on the corridors. But then you have another need as a human being. You go into a living room with someone that meets in a private space and you interchange. And this is where I would say is a small group thing which I'm talking about happening. You need to come closer. You are in a public, but then you are invited to someone's home and finally end up in his living room, and then you begin to talk more personally. I remember that when I had first met Basim and Anissa in a public space that was in Sarajevo at an art exhibition by a local artist, was also a devotee, the artist. And then I thought, I would like to meet these people and would like to know them, because two or three of their children have become devotees, so that's extraordinary. So I wanted to meet the
parents, and I felt very happy when I was invited in the living room. I'm not no longer the hello space and kakusti and dobro veche and all of this, but more meaningful discussions. And I got to know them in this way. And then there is something when you are invited in the kitchen. I think that's in Babelkane, huh? When you are invited in the kitchen, there's the real discussions going on. You eat, what do you eat? Pitta and olive oil or kefir, no? Pitta and kefir, is that the right combination or... yeah. And there in the kitchen you really start to really talk about the things which are close to your heart. That's very private, personal, intimate almost. You know, you eat and you feel, you know, you talk about... I don't know, private things, you know. You need this as a human being. Public space, you need to interact there. You need a living room more close where you exchange and you discuss things. And then you need the intimate space where you are more very personal, very private. You know, you the men open their, when it's hot, open their shirts and, you know, and talk about Balkan things, you know, and you need that. So in Krishna consciousness, my dear devotees, you also need, you need the Sankirtan, the ecstasy, Mayapur, pure, you know, dancing in the crowd and, you know, just, and so on, and feeling the energy. Then you need a more closer circle. And in that closer circle, the enrichment takes place. And then you need your personal super friend, where you can talk, where you can just open your shirt and talk about men and men life, and talk about the things which are very private. Why did he say this to me? What can you help me? I'm really struggling with this. I would like to be more personal with so and so, but why did he have to say this, you know? And you talk about these human things and then, oh, Buddhido, then you hear, Bodhisattva, be happy, you know, and you take it too personal, you are too, he didn't mean anything, and you should see Krishna behind him. You know, some personal good discussions. It's so important. So important. So I'm thinking, I want to encourage you. Yes, so what I have seen is all human societies who kept their speciality intact without becoming assimilated by the foreign culture around them had small groups. Today I was thinking of the I will explain this difficult sentence, don't worry. I was thinking of the Australian Aborigines. Have you seen pictures of them? They really look like Aborigines. I mean, they have different hair. Some children have white hair. It's really a different group of people, you know. And they were the original inhabitants of Australia. And then all of a sudden a white flood came and colonized the country. But they kept their culture intact, where they would meet in small groups. I know these dream walks, you know, where you go for experiences into the desert, and they live, they keep in their groups and so on. And they don't become assimilated by the culture, because they meet together. In Zurich, I know an ethnic group, the what type of Jews are they?
Kavichandra Maharaj, you're from America. They have these big heads. Yes, exactly. Now the Amish are something else. Amish are not Jews, or they're Christians. Dobro. So these are the Hasidic Jews. It's a specific brand of Jews who are very traditional. They have this heads, and there is some reason which I have not learned. They have the special way of beard, and they are in Zurich. It's a whole quarter. You see when you drive and you pass them, isn't it, Gaurahari? We always see them, and I always become enlivened, and so on. It is amazing. And they don't become assimilated. Do you know what this means, assimilated? You just lose yourself in the different environment. Why? Because they meet and they discuss the things which are important for them, and they build up strengths. But the devotees, you know, they also live in a different culture. But if they don't have small groups, you know, where they exchange, and you know, I don't have any rice now, can you give me your rice, you know, and for the meal which I need to cook. If they don't do this, they lose themselves. And this is a big, big problem of our youngsters, our young people. They feel it very much. The young teenagers, in our Gurukul tradition, they just disappear in the worldly society. No. This is for our devotee, for the devotee family who lives here, the base in Manisa, and their children. We talked about this a little while ago. It's so lucky that Haris has the children of Govinda Hari and Baleshwari. And it's also good for them, you know. They talk together, they make plans, you know. When we are a little bit bigger, we will go in one apartment and we will just be for ourselves. We enrich our lives together. And in this way, they have friends and they don't get shloop into the kami world, you know. This is so important. So for us as a movement, these instructions of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, all of you meet before your doorsteps, are absolutely important. And Gaudiya Vaishnavism was always done like this. I don't find this verse, but where is this verse where they say they mutually enrich each other? Is this in this Mahatma story? Yeah. Borayantas. Do you remember the number or the Yeah, around this time. Yeah, okay, I will find it. 10 to 9 or 10 or 11. No, I'm in the area. I feel some warmth coming out of the book. Someone of you said 9. Yeah. Chapter or what? Chapter 10, verse 9. Yes, here. You know everything. Here's the verse for you. Machchita matkata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantas chamang nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me. And now listen to this. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me.
This is not what happens in the public space. In the public space, you sing or you listen to a lecture. When you come and enlighten each other and derive great satisfaction and bliss in doing this, then you are then you're doing this. This is a small group thing or a one-on-one thing, you know, where they meet personally. So it's the living room stuff or the kitchen stuff in our analogy. Or the... I'm starting to speak like an American. This is also not good. It's a living room activity or the kitchen activity. Very important. This... Do you want satisfaction and bliss? Of course. I mean, it's a rhetoric question. This happens in small groups when you are together with people. Hare Krishna, Nitai Pada Kamala Prabhu. This is in small groups. The human being is always interested in another human being. How do you do things? How does it work? How... You know, when I'm with my God brothers and we have a little time, this is all I'm asking. How do you do? How do you? Or something. I remember when I met Hari Sori Prabhu after a long time and I had read his Transcendental Diaries. I just said, you know, tell me very honestly, what was Prabhupada's opinion on this? Did he? I know his literature, but did he talk to you something, another angle or so? You know, and then he told me something where I said, "Wow, I needed this information. Thank you. You have really made my life easier." I would like to encourage you to do the following practical thing. In a week or so, Akrura comes back, and he has somehow studied this small group things, how they work. We had in the past in Zagreb, in our community, Bhakti Sangha meetings, and we still have Bhakti Sangha meetings here and there, but we don't have 30 million people at the moment in Krishna consciousness. I mean, it's small, that's what I want to say. And Akrura seems to know these little things. He has studied a lot of literature and a lot of the success in the Chopati temple, how this can be formed. Because the crucial point of these small groups is that the important interactions take place and the heart opens and you become enriched. And you need some forum how to do this, how to awaken this process, you know. And he comes. When does he come, Sundarananda? This Thursday? From Friday onwards, we have a plan and seminars. And I really request all of you to go into this, to participate and to learn and then see how you could do this. I really feel in our preaching in Zagreb or in Croatia, we have such a wealth of devotees who come. There's such wonderful devotees. Kavi Chandra Maharaj said to me, he is so impressed by the devotees and how they come and how they are so nice and in big numbers they come, they are interested and so on. But I would like to say, we have to now think how we can nourish them. It's not enough if they come just once a week to the temple or twice a month and so on. And you know what I always see when I give lectures to the devotees? I think my lectures are not so important as what happens afterwards when you take your plate and you sit together. And yesterday I saw right before my eyes small groups forming, you know, was it yesterday? And you laugh and you eat and you steal your prasadam from the plates and you have all these human interactions going on. And I saw one corner, they had the computers, and I don't know what they did with the computer, shooting information back and forth maybe, or trying to bring the computers together that they made a third computer, or you know, something. Everything is possible nowadays, almost, you know. And you know, that was small group things, and you looked so enlivened. I always see as a lecturer, when you have given a good lecture where you touched the people's heart, they sit and they talk and they, and then the real things start. And, you know, it's not that I don't want to say that kirtans and all the things in the public spaces are not important. Now I will make another point. You will be very surprised about this point. I've thought about this very, very deeply. My dear devotees, if you want to make it in Krishna consciousness, you have to have Krishna conscious friends where you reveal your mind and you talk. Don't try to only do this with the guru. It won't work and your need will not be fulfilled. In fact, you will starve in some areas and this will give you a problem. You need good devotional friends. You need also small groups. Today I talked to one very nice devotee in our congregation, Thai Yoga Zasha, and he said, I came to the temple, it was nice, but it was a bit too overwhelming. But when I came to Lemo Sangha, wow! Then I really thought, this is for me. This was his statement to me. Just I didn't give him prasadam for making such a statement. You know, said you can take prasadam when you make such a statement. No, it just came unsolicited, you know, unasked for. So these two things, you need the living room and you need the kitchen in your life. Small groups where you interchange ideas. You know, when you come into small groups, you can combine talents. You can do something and you can actually become both activity-wise and spiritual inspiration-wise enriched and strengthened. Otherwise, you will be assimilated by the culture. We talked about this today with one very nice devotee. There was one, the culture of sense gratification is enveloping us from all areas, and you can become totally absorbed and involved in this. More than you think. There was one very nice Vaishnav who gave lectures on the Bhagavatam every day at the bank of the Yamuna. He was young, 25 years. So once there was a lecture and the devotees all came, and one Mataji devotee was there, simple village lady, and you know, a wind came from the Yamuna and took her zari a little so that her upper body was exposed. And this Bhagavatam lecturer, young, very nice devotee,
very advanced and so on, looked and this diary and on his audience and looked at the at this scene and felt aroused. Do you know what this means? Stimulated. For a second, it was a passing thought. And he felt, oh no, what is this? This is not me. How could this happen? I'm supposed to teach these wonderful devotees attachment to Krishna, but I myself am still so much attached to this materialistic sense gratification. I'm not qualified to lecture. And this devotee stopped his lecture and just jumped into the Yamuna in utter distress to take a purifying bath. Imagine how he felt. He felt like a cheetah. Then this distress didn't leave him. And he went to one older devotee, and he told him his distress. And the older devotee said, no problem, this is the mind, what can you do? But why? I never was like this. Then the older devotee said, what did you eat? Normal. Prasadam. No, I meant, who cooked the prasadam? Now the devotees, the traditional renunciants, they always cook for themselves because they want to make sure that nothing of another's consciousness is coming to them, and it comes through consciousness comes through food. That is what there is a fan club of Anissa in the Bhaktivedanta College who eats Anissa's pittas. And because Anissa is just such a loving mother and so on, they all feel the love of a mother when they eat Anissa's food. Isn't it? Syamasaki told me this, you know. Because the consciousness of the cook goes into the food. That is a normal knowledge. So the renunciants know this, and to make sure that they will cook their prasadam, they go, Hare Krishna, and it's all super, super. So this devotee who had this problem, he said, I ate what I cooked, khichdi and maybe a chapati or... And 1 week ago, I was at a bandar in the Radha Madan Mohan Mandir. What is a bandar? A bandar is public food distribution. You know, usually wealthy people donate so that the sadhus can eat something nice with milk and sweets and, you know, and a real meal, because usually they just eat some chickpeas. Right and so on and so it's considered very meritorious. Meritorious means you get a lot of benefit from this act to feed the sadhus. After Sanat Kumar Sangita says, after, when you are initiated, after it you should sponsor a feast for all the Vaishnavas. I'm talking of a tradition here. Not that you know. This was done in old times. So the aha, said the older sadhu. So you ate in the temple. Find out who sponsored the feast. So the devotee went, Sherlock Holmes, you know, to the temple to find out who was sponsoring the feast. And the priest gave him the answer. It was that famous prostitute from Delhi who wanted to do something good. So somehow that energy of this I don't know if you have met prostitutes. Most probably you don't have met prostitutes. You know, as a preacher, I meet all types of people in all types of professions. Also, I've met from this profession, if we can call it like this. So they do have this lusty energy around them. It's you, because that's their means of livelihood. It's just like a footballer. He has a football energy. So footballs are subtle auras, you know, and so on. And over this way, money and food, that energy came to this young Bhagavatam reciter. You know, when you hear this story, then what shall you think? You are surrounded by a culture which is full of unfavorable energy. You eat food, we don't know who has touched the food, you know. You hear music. You walk by, you put on your TV set, you want to see, and you see violence on the TV screen. Nowadays you see murder on the, real murder, you know. I heard the Iranian murder, you know, there was this demonstration that was visible on the TV. I remember once in Macedonia, I was there in the TV station, and I was, you know, I was already sitting there, and we saw the news was before us, and you could see it on a TV screen, what they said. And do you know what they showed? They showed real scenes from murder in Sarajevo. No, how are they called? Snipers? How they were shooting people, and how they got hit, and all the, everything came out of the belly, and they showed this on the TV, and then the news broadcast ended, and then the smiling interviewer turned to me and said, "Now I want to ask you about Krishna consciousness." And I said, "Do you have no heart? We have just seen this. These scenes, and now I should talk about something else. I'm totally thinking of the shooting in Sarajevo. How innocent people were just killed. This is not. I can't talk now about so many things. Let's first talk how cruel we have become. That we just switch subjects and so on. How we have seen it so often that we are no longer affected. This is called dehumanization, your TV. And so after having said this, I will tell now about Krishna consciousness. Of course, I started to preach, you know, Krishna. So we live in a culture where we are all the time influenced in adverse ways, and therefore I think small groups is the way to spread Krishna consciousness. This is my little point, and I can only request you, most of you who sit here today are either preachers or are devotees who are very deeply interested in Krishna consciousness. You have made time today in the evening to come. So please listen what Akrura can tell us, what new informations we can gather, and then talk. Because, my dear devotees, you are in Zagreb. You really have a wonderful congregation here. It's really outstanding, and there are so many nice more people who are intelligent, fresh, spiritually open, and so on. I believe if you can do this, then Krishna, then you have a large congregation, and with a large congregation, you can really do many, many things much faster, like building temples or you know, anything is much easier. But more than anything, Krishna conscious sharing can take place in a very enlivening way.
way.
Also, you will most probably learn something important, that is to overcome your loneliness. Hare Krishna, I always have to say such things.
So this is what I wanted to say today.
It was not such a super philosophical lecture. There was almost no philosophy inside. But I thought today we made a walk around Yarun Lake and we talked about this with our little, and we all of a sudden noticed we were sitting on tree stumps. We started to talk, and all of a sudden, we talked about this. All of a sudden, I noticed, my God, we are a small group. We were four people, and we could explore things which we have not done before. And one devotee we put on the surgery table and did some spiritual surgery on him. It's an analogy, what I want to say. We talked very personally amongst ourselves, and it was very, very enriching for all of us. So please see this. I personally think this is the next step for our movement in Croatia, and I think it could work all over the Balkans, and it could really help to spread this movement. I must tell you personally, I'm totally dedicated to. Dedicated is not the word. I'm now dedicated really to the Vedic way, but I'm totally convinced of also of this, and I've given this attempt to organize it a lot of time in my life when I was. We call this in Europe the network preacher. We try to bring people together in networks. And from this, the Namhata program came, and then the Bhakti Sangha came. I'm not saying that I was the originator of this program. No, but I preached in this program and saw really miracles happening. One miracle which will give pleasure to Kavichandra Maharaj's heart, who is a veteran book distributor. We were two in our group, Ashok Kumar and myself, and we had this huge congregation, and when there was network, small groups, and when the Christmas marathon came, the book distribution marathon, we would just go to the small groups and let them distribute. And they always were number one. We challenged, the two of us challenged the whole yatra. Let's see who will win the marathon. And you are two, and these are 80 book distributors. And I always said, I will win. But I have a trick which I will tell you afterwards. That was the first year. And then we just, one, two, three, went into our car, filled it with books, and gave all the huge books loads to all the little groups and said, you distribute, and you tell us your number, and we are then taking all the credit. No, we didn't do it like this. We said, this is the Namhata preaching. At that time it was called Namhata preaching. And they did it. Good. We have ended this class here. Any questions which you have? Yes, Kavichandra Maharaj.
Would you like to have the... Can we have a microphone for our Maharaj? We will give you a mobile microphone. Yes.
Hare Krishna. The small group thing, I agree very much. I try to stress that. I saw one Christian book, because they study these things so much, it was called Small Groups Don't Just Happen. you have to make it happen, but like you said, it works. And then just mention these groups that have survived, like the Hasidic Jews, they keep their identity, you know, by a certain type of dress. They're very, you know, they're fearless. They go to school, they go to university, they go business. New York City, there's a huge group of them. And, you know, they're very insular, but they maintain big businesses, and now they have to hire other people. And then also like these Sikh, they're not afraid to wear their turban and their beard and wherever they go. But I see many times devotees, they're afraid to look like devotees. And then they merge into society. Because they try to look like everyone else. They try to merge in and not be noticed. And then they forget who they are. If that makes sense, you know. That's why we need to get together and support each other and discuss and
encourage each other.
Encourage.
Yeah. Thank you. Wonderful. Wonderful, Maharaj. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your comment. Is someone else here who wishes to ask the question? You can also ask the other questions, but oops. Obviously, it would be good if we have I think it's clear, isn't it? So let us then see what goods Akura brings, and then. As Maharaj said, see how we can organize it. It won't just fall from the sky, and so on. My experience in the small groups is I took once part in a small group in Belgrade, and it's always a little difficult because when I am there, everyone looks to me, when will he start to speak? And that's not the idea, you know, that one person does something. There's a lively exchange. So what we did is in Vrindavan, God brothers came together. It was in there was one God brother who lived in a nice house, Tamakrishna Goswami, who has already departed. But we would meet every Ekadasi, that is, every 2 weeks, and we would discuss subjects which were of interest for us. How much karma of the disciple has the guru to take? Things like this, which were immediately of deep interest for us, you know, as God brothers. Or we would discuss about, we would take a prayer book like Prarthana, and we would discuss that. And in so many ways, we focused on things we were immediately interested in, and we discussed and we felt very enlivened. It was so small, 7 of us, 6 of us. We would talk the whole night.
was one of the, you know, we would do a vigil, it's called, staying awake in the night and engaging in spiritual discussions. And they were very, very intense. I remember there was one discussion which was so good that Dharma Krishna Maharaj threw me out of the discussion because I had a contrary point. You know, in other words, we talked very heated, and I said, "I'm not going. This is a discussion group." And it was very nice, you know. You know, we are a little strong-minded. We are older devotees and a little intense. We were really fired up to discuss like anything. What a question. I won't tell you about what we discussed. This lecture which I've given today is a continuation of an article called The Community of Care. Some of you have maybe seen it. If not, you may find it in the internet, and the real person who is really really thinking of this is Radhanath Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. Of course, also His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj is very much in this. But Radhanath Maharaj took the ideas, the traditional ideas from the Namhata program, a step further and into a nice, he calls it the counselor system. And I do remember sitting with him in an apartment somewhere near the clouds in New York, a skyscraper in other words, and we were talking. I was talking to, explaining to him the concept of the Vedic way, and he said to me, "That's all right. That's all right. The content is very interesting and so on. And but do you know when people join? It's not because of the content. They ask the question: Do I want to be with these people?" Then they make a decision to join. See, we are human beings. That's how we function, most of us. Are these people so attractive that I can imagine to be with them? Or would I say, not 10 horses can pull me into this association again? This is really the question. If you have the dynamics which are there, and you know, nice discussions, friendships which build, talking from the heart, getting, you know, you're spiritually nourished like anything. So when he said like this, it was very convincing. I remember, very convincing. Living and sharing, yes, later. Yes, you're correct. No, in Sarajevo, in Zagreb is also, we have also groups. It's already going on, but not yet 30 million. Yes. All right, then I will thank you very, very much for your wonderful association during these 4 days. It was really a very spiritual experience for me to celebrate Radhastami with all of you. I really am very grateful for the opportunity to be with you and to just experience such a wonderful festival where we really all felt wow, there was some divine energy, some mercy entering our hearts and filling them up, and so on. It was really very exceptionally special, really exceptionally special, and it was a great experience. Yes, we hope to meet all of you very soon again in September. As you know, we start a Kirtan tour, and I wish you all the best. I wish that the prayers which you have said to Srimati Radharani and Krishna on Radhastami will soon be fulfilled. On the computer already, someone wrote to me, "You said we should just pray this prayer, the Prarthana Padati, and our life would change." And my life has totally changed. I did it. I wrote back, "You are most probably not the only one, but the only one I know of at this stage." And the rest of you who didn't pray, maybe next Radhastami you pray. It really works, apparently. I mean, I also prayed, and I'm... Yes, then the next days, I had this phone call to her. And on the phone, these devotees told me that something I had wanted for many, many years had come to pass. Something in service to Prabhupada, you know, a project came to pass. Wonderful. So we will end our program here. But some Vaishnav has come here somewhere. Where is he? Where? Oh, Pankajangri Babu! Haribo! Oh, Pankajangri! Wow! Pankajangri Babuji! Please come! Please come. Just say a few words. Kavichandra Maharaj and myself are already here for some time. Please sit comfortably.
Not me, I'm my brother. I'm not the real thing. I'm not the real thing.
He's his brother.
Well, he got such a round of applause, he must have thought I was unanimous. And the reflection, the imitation. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So happy to see you all again here in Zagreb. We just come from Ljubljana.
Ljubljana?
Yes.
What else have you seen? You were in Poland and...
In Poland, yes, in Hungary, for a little while. Then where?
Spain.
Yes, went to Spain. Plus a brother, little enjoying. A Janmashtami. Then to Italy. Bilaji Hare Krishna Radhastami, Prabhupada Desh, Ljubljana, and Zagreb.
Very good.
And when do you go back to Mayapur, or have the devotees captured you?
Another month.
Another month. Yes. Oh. You should all make a special connection with Pankajangri Prabhu, because he knows how to get the special mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. He's serving Lord Nrisimhadev and also Lord Madhava. And you can get Nrisimha oil from him and Mahaprasad.
And the Maha Maharaj.
Good. Would you like to say just to, you said already hello, yes. Then I suggest that we again lovingly raise our hands in the sky and say, Pankajangri Prabhu, Haribol!